19, chapter 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It's finished." When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It's finished." That's amazing. Just tasting vinegar, he said, "It's finished." But the Greek word is tetelestai. The te means future. In other words, what's finished is already present, though you don't see it except by faith. What's finished is already present by faith, though you don't yet see it, it doth not yet appear. What you shall be, what we shall be. But when we know, when we see you as you are, we will be like you. The same, he created us in the image of God and according to his likeness. Now, that likeness will take place not to your eyesight. This is still faith time. But you will actually see your new body and your new soul joined to your new heart, which you already have, making you the perfect person. The perfect person. Why? Because you didn't do it. You did not do that. Jesus did that as a gift, not as a wage. He gave that as a gift, not for what you did, but what he did on your behalf. What he did for you. Hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Tetelestai. It means it's finished. The debt is paid. You're free forever. And ever. And ever. You'll never again come into subjection, into submission to anything wicked or foul. You are now free forever. Act on that truth. And you will be free. That's how you establish your freedom, as you walk out of the prison. Paying the double means the indictment in your case inside the prison is written on a piece of paper on the wall. And that piece of paper says 21 years for this particular sin, for what you've done. So it says clearly 21 years. However, because of God's goodness and his grace and his mercy and his power, because of that, by being a believer, chair 4, 5, and 6, where are my chairs? Where are they? No, that's not the chairs. Are those the chairs?
No, you didn't ask them to be put out.
Huh?
I don't think you asked them to put them.
I did. Larry said it. He went to the back. If I could have 7 chairs up there and make sure the 3 are all by themselves. Now, because the man is in prison, he knows the misery of prison. You are nothing. You have no life. You have no joy. You have no peace. You have no goodness. You have nothing. And you have to be punished now for your sins. So he's chastening you to make sure you wake up and realize, I have to change my life. I have to make a different decision. I have to be a new creation. Even while I'm in prison. Now, if you go to any federal prison, you'll always find they have church services. You'll always find there are pastors who come by and they witness to the criminal who has no choice about staying there until he's pardoned or until his sentence is up. After he's pardoned or his sentence is up. But what if you had a relative, a kinsman redeemer, as Job said? What if you had a kinsman redeemer? I know that my redeemer liveth. If you had a kinsman redeemer, He is always free to come and to fold the paper over. And if he folds it and he then tapes it up on the hook, there's a hook there. If he tapes it there, it'll say these words, tetelestai. Tetelestai. The same thing Jesus said when he was on the cross, and these were his last words after he took the vinegar. These were his last words of bitterness. It's finished. The warfare is over. Enter my rest, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Eternal. I'll give you eternal life. Everything that you do not deserve, I will give to you freely. Now that it says on there, debt paid, or nothing is owed, or you're at liberty, the door opens and you're free. No pardon, no 21 years, nothing. You're just free for no reason at all, except for God's loving kindness to you. This is the gospel. This is the good news. It's objective, meaning it comes from outside. It comes from heaven. It's something that God promised that all the prophets and priests and kings and so on in the Old Testament and then so forth in the New Testament. It's preached every Sunday. It's preached every week, especially by Christians, that everything has been paid for. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and because we love not our lives to the death. In other words, I don't have to love myself because God loves me, because God has done everything for me, not to inherit the reward I would have gotten because of my sins. They've been forgiven. And not only that, because of the Holy Spirit now, they're actually, the power of sin is gone from me. He gives me grace every day. Every day as he fills me with his Spirit, he also gives me grace that I don't have to walk the way of the world. I actually now have the power dwelling within me. Though the fruit that comes out is actually his fruit, not mine. So I don't have to work. I don't have to labor. I don't have to do anything. It happens when you're not even looking. It happens when you're not paying attention. Because all of us have an addiction to keep sinning. All of us are used to, familiar with, being condemned, feeling guilty, feeling like I haven't been a good person. I never did amount to a hill of beans. I never did actually achieve anything. I just existed, and then now I'm ready to perish and die. Maybe it's life imprisonment. But in this case, the answer is no, because he wrote on there, tetelestai, it is finished, it is paid for. You owe no debt, you're free forever. Walk out. Now, if you believe that, that someone, not you, someone else, a kinsman redeemer, related to you, how is he related? Because he's the one that made the promise that God made that you believed in. So just by faith alone, you don't have to do this. You could stay in there. You actually could stay in there and say, I prefer just to be miserable for the rest of my life. I prefer to be poor, blind, and naked. I prefer to be lukewarm. I don't really want to be free to worship God and love my neighbor as myself. I just want to stay in here because this is what I deserve. I expiate for my sin. All Catholics understand that word expiation means you pay for your own sin. You have to do works to achieve that. And then you're forgiven by the priest, or you're forgiven by the Pope, or you're forgiven by somebody. But the truth is that that's not in the Bible. None of that's in the Bible. This is what it is in the Bible. On the day he rose from the dead. By the way, this is the second time he cleansed the temple. But on the day that he rose from the dead, he said these words, it's finished. It's all over. I've paid for everyone. God has never been angry at you, and he never will be angry at you. He's always wanted you to have not only happiness and security in the next world, He wants you to have it today. He wants you to celebrate today. He wants you to walk out of your prison and say, I'm not going there anymore. The door was open. I chose to believe, and therefore I choose to act on that belief by walking out of here. If you stay inside, which the lukewarm church will do, because they believe they have to pay. They believe they have to pay for their sins. They don't believe that God is good, even though God is good. Not only that, Jesus added these words, no one else is good but God. Well, if no one else is good but God, that would include most of us, like 100%. If no one else is good but God, then nobody, no pope, no emperor, divinely right of kings to rule, they don't have that. That's taken away. And so we, as Americans, and particularly as Texans, live in a state that's free. The only thing we're subject to, is the United States Constitution, as written, as originally written. And so all that's in there is still there. They've added amendments, but some of those amendments are not good. Some of those amendments take away your rights. Some of those amendments are wrong. We don't agree with that. And so in the Texas Constitution, it's very clear. Because in Texas, and I have a right to speak about Texas out of the Bible, in Texas, they made the language even stronger, because this was the year after James Madison died, 1835. But the next year, Texas was born, as for 9 years it would be a republic, a nation all by itself, free and independent. Let's be free, because the 12th paragraph in the Declaration of Independence in 1836 said these words. The Mexican government was speaking about Santa Anna because he had taken over the government and now it's a military dictatorship. The Mexican government denies to us the right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of our own private conscience. And many other words to that effect, much stronger than the U.S. Constitution, that Congress shall make no law. That's already been ruined by the Supreme Court. They know how you really aren't going to have much freedom because you can't establish a church. Then they twist that in such a way that you lose all your liberty. But the one part of the Constitution is the other clause, which says, nor shall they inhibit. You can't prevent. You can't stop the free exercise, not just the conscience, but you have the free exercise to not only worship Almighty God according to the dictates of your own conscience. That's a right you have naturally. That is a fundamental right that has to be protected like all our other rights. That is so fundamental, it's part of nature itself. It's the natural law written on your heart when you were conceived in the womb, no matter who you are. Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, atheist, it doesn't matter. Everyone has that written on their heart. Do good and don't do bad. So there's a little voice inside of you, that's the voice of God, that wrote, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. That's your first duty. Your second duty is, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the end of the law. The beginning of the law, worship God. The end of the law, love your neighbor. Simple. That's written on everybody's heart and everybody knows it, so everybody's a hypocrite. Because they don't believe that God is, or that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him and walk out of that prison. Walk out of that misery. Walk out of that thing that says, I have to pay, I have to do something, I have to accomplish something in this world. Now I'm going to speak to you today the word of the Lord. Exact word. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is found in Revelation, the 18th chapter. So if you want to turn to that, I'll only read the first four verses. But I want to continue. If you do act on this promise, a promise is not like a command. A command says, do this, don't do that. And there's power behind that law. There's power behind that command that says, and if you don't, this will happen. And if you do, this will happen. So it's all up to you. Everything is weighted on you. So you either obey or disobey a command. But you either believe or have no belief if it's a promise. So Jesus has made a promise that completely does away with the law. So the command disappears because of the equity of the promise of God, which triumphs over the law. So the mercy of God has set us free. Chair 4. Oh, I see. I see how they are. This one here, sinner. You all began that way. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, you were sinners. And you still sin. This next one is hypocrisy. You're lukewarm, and you don't believe that you actually... You do sin, but it wasn't from your heart. That's silly. But that's what we believe. And so our repentance then would say, I'm basically good, but I do bad things every once in a while. That's a lie. That's a complete lie. So you're deceived. But this is the chair that starts it all off. This is the chair number 4, where you have faith in Jesus Christ that he wrote to Telestai and put that on the outside, and so you could walk out as the door is wide open. Anyone can walk out at any time and have happiness, joy, and peace, and love, and all those fruits of the Spirit, which you can't produce. Jesus Christ produces them through you as the branch tied to the vine. That's his fruit. And that fruit is perfect. That fruit makes everything you do perfect. You are the perfect man. The full stature is 4, 5, and 6. So faith active become inactive, it becomes true. The minute you go through chair 5, your death, that's when you actually have life. When you lose your life, you actually find it. So chair 5 is actually the discipline to the Lord. That's the Savior forgave you. Now, the Lord is not only going to forgive you, he's also going to remove the power of sin. And that's where the grace comes in. That every day that you confess your sins, that every day he renews you by sending you grace. Everybody has a measure of grace. Everybody has a measure, but it's not the same. You have a different measure than I have. I have a different measure than you have, and so on. We all have special gifts. So no one should ever want to be a pastor unless you want to suffer. And I love this job because I get to suffer all the time. I love it. I love it. Because pastors have a weight on them that they always must tell the truth, otherwise they're not acceptable to God. They would be a blemished lamb. They would be someone you couldn't overcome the devil because of the blood. The blood is enough. The blood is enough. The blood is enough, chair 4. However, it's only enough to get you started. That's the foundation of the house. Because God is building himself a temple, a house, and you're the temple. You are the new Jerusalem that will come down from heaven in the last days. So this chair 4 and then 5 and then... Well, get up there. They don't like you anyway. This is chair 6. Now, this chair of 6 is faith active in love. But faith through your death actually accomplishes resurrection, justification, sanctification, glorification, outer court, holy place, holy of holies, etc., etc. So, it's a process. Salvation is not chair 4. People that are born again are not Christians in the sense that it's finished. Why? Because he not only forgives you all your sins, he also cleanses you from all unrighteousness. 1 John 7-9. So the fact that God forgives you of your sins doesn't mean you can sin. The only reason that you were born again, a new creation, that's never like anything on this earth. It's different than all other religions, which are no religions at all, because they're all idolatry, nothing. They don't really exist. So this is the only true religion, and that's why you will all stay in Texas during the tribulation. Amen. You don't know how I arrived at that. But it's okay. You'll learn later. That the Bible says this in Revelation 3:10. It says, anyone who hears these words of mine and does them, honors my name, you will be part of and you will miss out on the whole tribulation that's coming upon the whole world. You will miss out on that. You'll be in a place of refuge for 3.5 years, 1,260 days, 42 months. You will be in a safe place that the enemy cannot reach you. And not one will perish. Not one. Hallelujah. So it's better to finish this thing, chair six, than to begin this thing. Because if you begin it, I guarantee you, you will fall back into one or two, if not both. You will fall back because you're a contradiction even to yourself. Because there's not one sin you can remove from your life. Nothing. It's been forgiven, but it's not gone. It's still remembered. Because you still have it. And so chair five eliminates it, so it has no dominion over you, but it's still by faith. And you just simply have to say, I'm perfect. I'm clean. There's no condemnation for me. Because the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the spirit, the law of sin and death. I sin, I don't die. I did wrong. They have my paper there that says 21 years or lifetime or whatever. Whatever it says, someone came along and said, no, I want this one. This one belongs to me. This one has turned to me even in prison. Therefore, they're free. So you can be free in whatever addiction you're addicted to, whatever kind of sin you're addicted to. Now, I can easily point out people here because it's everybody. It's easily to point out people, so I won't bother with you. I'll just point out my own sin. You don't want to follow my example unless my example is that I love the Lord, my God, who's my kinsman redeemer, who wrote those words down, it is finished. That's just the English translation, but it means the debt has been paid, period. It's the future brought present by faith. You don't see it. It doth not yet appear. You don't see it, but by faith, I already believe. The door is open. I can walk out right now. I can act on what I believe. Because when I believe something, that means I don't want to be miserable anymore. I want to have a happy life right here. I don't want to have a happy life in heaven. I want it to begin today. Because he opened the cell long before your sentence is up. Your sentence still remains, no matter how long it is or how short it is. Your sentence remains until somebody pays the debt. And I didn't even know that could happen. But Jesus paid the debt. That's how we overcome the enemy. That's how we overcome Satan. Otherwise, you'd be children of Satan. You are born a child because you gave up your rights and you need then to be born again. Chair four. You can't be chair one or two, a sinner, an open sinner, or a hypocrite sinner. They're all the same. Totally the same. Completely the same. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil or else what? Because when you're good, you're not good. And when you're evil, you are evil. So if you're not good, then you are evil. So it's just the sin of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good. Only God knows good. Only God is good. Only God cares to be good toward you, and you can't make him because you're evil. And so you don't deserve anything except the Lord's vengeance upon you. And his wrath will come soon. It's coming soon. You already see it today on your television screen, on all the media, on all the political activity going on. You see it right and left. If you never believed it before, you can believe it today. It's not going to change. It's not going to get better. America is not going to become great again, and so on and so forth. So, sorry about that, Trump. But it's a good goal. But it's not necessarily a limit. It doesn't mean anything about the future. It's just something he's, you know, decided to do, and he's keeping his word, and he'll be commended for it because he did the right thing. But whether he's really mature, I doubt. But maybe he is. I have no idea because I don't read hearts. I don't read souls. I don't know how sincere his prayers are, but I pray for him every day. As I prayed for Hillary, as I prayed for Obama, it doesn't matter. Whatever they do, we're to love our enemies, we're to bless our enemies, we're to pray for our enemies, because they don't have any hope at all unless they see that I'm mature. If they see me only in chair four, or while I'm going through the discipleship chair five, they still don't see Jesus until they see chair six, where my love reaches out to them whether they deserve it or not, so that they can see by our good works the glory of God, the majesty of God, and they marvel. When they see your good works, they're so moved that they say, I didn't see you, I saw Jesus. What you said, what you did, I was Jesus. Now, since none of you are capable of reducing one sin, minimizing any sin that you have, I don't care what addiction you have, it's still there. It may not dominate you now, or it may, but regardless, it's still there, because you cannot destroy sin. Only God. Only God can do that. He made you. He's the only one that can bless you. He's the only one that can make you a new creation, so that his mercy triumphs over judgment. His mercy triumphs over judgment. So the equity of the gospel of the kingdom of God is able to triumph over all the kingdoms of this world. Now, what God wants then is for you to understand, and I haven't even shared with you the word that he's doing for today. Everything God is doing today is to separate the church from the false church. That is, the hot, zestos, from the lukewarm, kliaros. Separate the two. Don't be part of the harlot church. Be part of the true church. Separate from the church you're in. Pull away. Don't be mad. Don't curse them. Don't speak evil of them. Pray for them. Bless them. Love them. But leave. Leave decisively. Now, I'm not saying anything about anyone's move. I'm just simply telling you what the gospel says, not what you do about it. I don't care what you do about it. But everyone then is free to go to a place where you're going to hear the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Because God wants you to be a true believer that has love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. All those fruits of the Spirit are nothing more than the life of Jesus. And that's why when they see your good works, they don't thank you. They don't praise you. They don't worship you. They give all the worship to God, your Father in heaven. Your Father, not theirs. Not Buddha. Not Hinduism. Not any of the other religions, Muslim and so on and so forth. Judaism, all of it. They're all under law. They're all under law. The blindness has not yet fallen from the Jewish eyes. Though individuals may become messianic, they may believe in the Messiah, that he's already come. But individuals are not the nation. The nation itself is still blinded. And so the whole nation has not yet come to its own resurrection from the dead. They're not quite there, and they won't be. And don't even worry about it. You can pray for them all day long. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Because he said, could you restore the kingdom at this time? The day that he rose from the dead. It's not for you to know the times of the seasons, which the Father himself has fixed. And then he says, he's fixed at the end of the age. Ah, you have to wait to the very end after the tribulation. That's when it's fixed, right there, when Jesus then starts the millennium. And Jews and Gentiles will be in heaven with God, up in the air. You won't ever come back here again. Not until there's a new heaven and a new earth, which is the same as you, the first fruits of the first fruits. The first fruits, we're the first fruits of that first fruits. We are the new creation. We're the body. He's the head. So he's the head of the church. So I can't have the government be the head. Or I can't have any king or lord or master or pastor. I can't have anyone be the head of his own church. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Meaning, the gates of hell will prevail against everything in this world. The gates of hell will prevail against everything in this world. That's what the tribulation is all about. The tribulation is God's wrath because he came for wrath. But the same wrath which destroys Jacob's trouble, 1260 days, is the same fire that purifies the sons of Levi. So while the Jews are being punished, actually, he's producing something beautiful. It's the remnant of Israel. They will be purified. It'll be just as it was at the first. The judges will come back. The prophecy will come back. They'll be making animal sacrifices. It's everything that God intended when they first became a nation, which they never did, because they did not love the Lord, their God, with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength. And that's enough. I could end right there. But they also did not love the neighbor as themselves. And they still don't today. But many are praying, the messianics particularly, are praying in Israel, because there are more Jewish messianics today than ever before for the last 2,000 years, all accumulated together. So, Israel, if you want to be the prime minister, you have to have the Christian vote. You have to have the messianic vote. If you don't get that, like Netanyahu, if you don't get that, you will not be. Each party has to curry their favor, has to be completely in line with some of their programs, not the Orthodox Jews, even though they still dominate the place by the laws. The elevators don't work and can't go anywhere on the Sabbath and so on and so forth. All of those laws are still in place. But that's because the blindness is still on their eyes and they're still sitting in their jail cell because they didn't know they've been set free. But he said that blindness will not be taken away until the end of the end of the end. And after the tribulation, then we'll have some ready. And others then may or may not be ready during the millennium, because the Jews will then be the leaders, the rulers of this world. And we will rule, we Christians, under God, the Father and his holy angels. We Christians then will be ruling and reigning from the air, closest to earth, from the air. And so we're in the lower parts of the heavens. And we will have our new bodies and our new souls because we were in a place of refuge during the tribulation. We didn't take part of it. And as soon as Jesus came back to judge the Antichrist and the false prophet, after he allowed them to destroy Babylon the Great, that's what our issue is today. Make sure you're not part of Babylon, because God is cleansing his temple for a third time. The first time, Palm Sunday, when he came into town, He then announced, "This is my Father's house. You've made it a den of thieves and robbers. But it's not a house of merchandise. This is the house of prayer for all nations. But you have polluted this house." So he ran out, he turned the tables, and the money went everywhere, and they scrambled to try to find some of it, and so on and so forth. And the birds were let loose, and the lambs, and so on and so forth. He created chaos. And everyone said, "Well, by what authority do you do this?" I'll ask you a question, and then if you answer the question, I'll tell you. But they didn't like his answer. Because Jesus simply said, "Have you loved the Lord your God?" He didn't say these words, but this is what he was saying. Have you worshiped God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and you deserve what you're getting. And they wanted to kill him right then. They determined, this guy is dead. He's dead. But they couldn't act because the people believed him to be maybe a prophet. Maybe he's one of telling us the truth. Whole Old Testament's full of it, so this must be another guy that God has raised up, and he claims he's the Son of God, but who knows that? Nobody. Nobody knows who this guy is. "Who is this?" they said. "Who is this? The whole world's going after him. God, I don't want the kingdom of God to come now. We'll lose our lunch money. Our corruption would have to stop. Because in the new heavens and the new earth, only the righteous will be there. There will be no wicked ever again by anyone. As a matter of fact, the minute he comes back, he'll already establish the millennium, which we're already in. But it happens on the third day." That is in Hosea, if you want to read it, 6:2. Hosea 6:2 says that on the third day he will return. Well, since he was born, this is now the third day, the 7,000th year. But there's an eighth day, and that is the year when everything is over on earth, time has ceased. And then there's the new heavens and the new earth, which is the new Jerusalem, which is us, coming down from heaven. And as we come down from heaven, there's a new earth and a new heaven, because we're the ones now ruling and reigning under Jesus Christ, with no one on earth, no one, because that's after the great white throne judgment, when every man must give an account for what he's done, good or bad, the choices he made. You see, nothing in your life makes a difference except the choices you make to act upon. The choices you make to act upon. So you can call yourself a Christian, doesn't mean you are. That's just profession. You're professing, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to such and such church." But it means nothing to God. It's the confession he wants. Con means with, together with. So when he died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. When he rose from the dead, you rose from the dead. When he reigns now, you reign now. Even now. Because everything that's happening, 4, 5, and 6, means you're growing in the Lord every day. Let us go on to perfection. Let us keep going until the whole thing is over. So, the word of the Lord is, I'm only coming back, not for a harlot church, lukewarm, number two. I'm coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, without stain, without anything that would mar your ability to marry Jesus Christ, the perfect one. He's the perfect sacrifice, but he's living in you. He's living through you. He is also working through you to bless his name so that men glorify God on your behalf. These are the cold. The cold can instantly convert the minute they see that what you just did was Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, the church today is not like that. We're mixed. We have everything mixed. And even if we said we're a pure church, we're not. There's still sin that dominates. There's still sin in this church. I'm not going to point it out, obviously, because you need to learn the concept before you learn the reality. You need to learn the concept. Somebody wrote something on the door. You don't have to get out. even the door is open. You can stay in there and be miserable. Or you can rejoice. Hey, I'm free. I don't even know what it means, but I'm free. I'm just free. Free to sin, free to, you know, whatever. And that's the way I first understand the gospel. When I first heard it, the good news was, now you're a Christian, you can sin all you want, all the way to heaven, and then go to heaven to boot. Well, that sounds like good to me, because I'm natural at sin. I am natural at lying. I'm natural at exaggerating. I'm just a natural lazy person. I'm a natural sinner, and I love it. Unlike some of you who had church backgrounds, I didn't have any guilt. I didn't even know there was a conscience. I didn't know anything about it. Now I do. But at that time, I did not. And so I continued to sin, but I did it secretly, hiddenly. But then after a while, I learned God doesn't want me to do His will. He wants us to believe His promise, which is the same as pleasing Him. So He wants me not to do His will. That's what He wants. But what He seeks is you to do it just for His pleasure, for no reward at all, for no reason at all. It's just because that's who you are. And if you believe that, then you make a decision that I'm going to love my wife that way, I'm going to love enemies that way, I'm going to love everybody without question. So I'm ready to die. I'm ready to die at any time. I don't care. Because of that, you will die. Anyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted. Anyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted. I don't know if that's any clearer than I can make it. It seems to me if anyone lives a godly life, you'll be persecuted. That's why they don't want Chair 5. They hate Chair 5. I don't want to. I want to be a Christian, but I want to be just barely in. I want to just escape into the door. I made it. Thanks to the door was open a little bit for me to squeeze in there. I don't think He wants you to barely make it. You're going in royal. Amen. You're going as His Majesty's subjects who are now set free, manumitted,
thank you, Lord,
by God's grace. And that's what changed the world. Those words changed the world. The blood of the Lamb is sufficient. Not only that, your word of your testimony about that blood being sufficient is now what makes you grow and go through the fire to burn up your flesh, but to purify your spirit. Now your spirit is wanting to move from the heart into the soul, into the body. But you'll never see that in this world. You see it from time to time. But you'll never see it in all the fullness till that trumpet sounds. Then you get your new body and your new life. You will be perfect in every way. This world cannot produce anything perfect. This world cannot produce anything perfect. Without faith, you can't please God. Without faith, you can't please God. So if you want to please God, you have to be dead. Chair 5. So since this world cannot do anything with sin, you can't stop it. Even if you stop it, you just did it outwardly. It's just head knowledge. It wasn't genuine from the heart. Nothing reaches the heart except the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing reaches the heart except the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing else reaches it. Everything else is psychosomatic, that is, body and soul. That's a Greek idea, not God's idea. God doesn't divide between body and soul as though the body was wicked and the soul was fine. That's the way the modern world is constructed. God divides between soul and spirit. So now, because you're born of the Spirit, you can't be moral. You can't be good, because you're not good. Any good that comes from you is a gift of God.
Yes.
You didn't do it. You did not do anything. You cannot do it. There are people that are Christians that believe that you have a role to play. I don't believe that. I believe you have no role to play. It's passive. It's written on your door right there. It says, the debt's been forgiven. You don't owe anything. After you pay your tax, they always have something that says, you owe 0.00. You have nothing. You have nothing because the debt's been paid. You cannot now pay it Because you paid it. So you have to wait till next year. You have to wait to sometime afterward. You can pay the next year, but I wouldn't do that if I were you. I'd just wait till the next year and pay it again. Because it's collected every year. They depend upon that. And so once the guy has written on you, and this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he wrote on that your kinsman redeemer who loves you before you even were born, before you even were existing. You were just in the mind of God. But now he created you, and everybody qualifies. Everybody, good and bad and indifferent. And I know many of you are bad. You are bad. You're still bad, even today. Even though you're proud you're not as bad as people say you are. You are so wicked, so foul. Because actually the good people are even worse than the bad people. The bad people at least know that when they're doing bad, it's bad. But the good people believe, well, I think I've done enough. I've suffered an incredible amount. So I had to do some things to protect myself, to manage to survive as I used to be. But that I found out that was a lie. That I deserved nothing, that I'm a zero, that I'm completely a worthless person. I'm like clay. I'm not worth anything. I use clay because I don't think he'll disagree with me. Or I could use Debbie. She wouldn't disagree with me. I could use David. He won't disagree with me. Because he knows that only Jesus is our righteousness. Amen. And if he hadn't signed that, I wouldn't be free. You know what I mean? I'm free. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have set me free. Now I'm not a mortal man anymore. I'm immortal. Does the world see it? No, of course not. We don't even see it. We don't see that. We don't see that. You have to believe that by faith. So you make your choice without anything behind it. Without anything behind it. Except the Word of God. Except the Word of God. That's why Jesus is called the Word of God. So he's spoken those words and said, you're free. Now you have to make the decision. If that's true, that I'm free, I can walk out. I can now make decisions that will change my actions because I believe that I'm the beloved of God. I believe that the blood of Jesus has set me free. I believe now that I can go through the fire with Jesus being there with me. And he'll lead me through that only my flesh will die and only my spirit will be purified when I'm all done. And then I'll be a lover, and men, when they see those good works, they'll give glory to the Father. And then we'll be the bride that's ready. This is the pure bride that is ready. And when you're the pure bride that's ready, this is what I want to say. Jesus is only coming back for the pure bride that's ready. The wise virgins, they were the ones that were ready when he came back for Jesus' return. They got their new body and their new soul, and they were already ready. But the foolish just came there and say, we finally have the Holy Spirit now. We bought him. I don't know what it cost, but we paid the price. Now we're here. Depart from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. Why did you call me Lord? Don't you know that if you call me Lord, you have to do what I say? I'm killing your flesh. The whole point of the Bible is that everything in the Bible kills your flesh. Everything in the Bible kills your flesh. Everything. Good news, bad news. All of it kills your flesh. It's designed to do that. That's why you don't read the Bible. And I know many of you want to, if you only had more time and so on. Well, wake up. Don't go to sleep. Read it. Read it before you go to bed. Read it after you go to bed. Get up early. I don't know about that. Well, that's the choice you made because you don't believe you're free. If you really believe the only reason you're here is to be a fruit bearer, but it's not your fruit. It's Jesus. It's not your fruit. It's Jesus. It's not your fruit. It's nothing you can do. So since you can do nothing, apart from me, you can do nothing. Since you can do nothing, then you can't do anything. And that's it. You're passive. It's completely passive. He didn't create you without your help. He created you without your help. He didn't redeem you with your help. He created you without your helping out on your redemption. You didn't have to do any works to earn it. You didn't have to do religious works to earn it. Religion is the foul spirit of this world. Now I'm going to read to you what God is doing today. This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Right now he's cleansing his temple. Right now he is cleansing his temple. The lukewarm is the church that the world knows. Whether it's Catholic or Protestant or Jewish or Hindu or Buddhist, whatever it is. Those are the people that are moral. Those are the people that do anything the flesh can do without killing the flesh. They don't want to go through chair five. Chair five kills your flesh. Chair five, they don't want to go through that. They don't want to keep on their sin until it's all gone and nothing then is left to purify. You're already a lover. That's what makes this throne so great. So today he's cleansing the temple. He's cleansing his temple, his people. So I'm going to read it to you. 18th chapter. 18th chapter. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, dunamis, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. So an angel does not have glory in himself. He has no life in himself. An angel just reflects the glory of God because he's a ministering servant of God. So the angels, the two-thirds that kept their place, which is remain a servant, do not become a lord. So Nimrod, unfortunately, was the first man on earth that got an idea. I'll build the temple of man. I'll build the perfection of man out of myself being the lord. And then I will be Imperium, the political leader, and I will also be Pontifex Maximus, the high priest. So I will be both, the political leader and the spiritual leader. I'll have mankind totally submitted to me. And he did it without God. He didn't even need God to help him. He did that all on his own. And he thought, you know, this is a good thing because mankind can't get along. They can't live with their neighbors. I'll solve that. I'll solve that. I'll become the leader because I'm wise and I'm good and I know what's best for people. And since they're ignorant and children, I'll just rule over them. And then I'll reward the ones that agree with my rule and I'll destroy those that rebel against me. Same thing he had done with God. So he's a lawless one. He's called the lawless one. And the lawless one is actually Satan himself. Satan inspired Nimrod to do what he did, but he wasn't cursed because God said, just pull away, just pull away, just pull away. We haven't read that yet. I'm going to read it now. He's cleansing his temple. This is the third time. He did it on Palm Sunday. He did it on Resurrection Day. Cleansed it twice. But now he's doing it again. And he cried, verse 2, 18:2, mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become. Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit. In a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations. Oh, he's not talking about devils and spirits and cages of birds. For all nations. This is why I'm saying that. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the lukewarm church. That doesn't love God with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength and their neighbor as themselves. This is the Jewish problem. This is now the Christian problem. This is the problem of Buddhists and Hindus and everybody. Nobody has worshiped God. This is the true worship. Those that worship me in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verse 21 through 23. You have to worship God in spirit and truth. You need the Holy Spirit. You have to be a spiritual person. And Jesus is the truth. So, if you have Jesus in your heart, it's the only place he dwells. The heart used to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now the heart eats of the tree of life through Jesus Christ. Because even though he has life in himself, as the Father has life in himself and the Holy Spirit as well, still that life isn't yours until you believe the promise that he did that for you before you were even aware of it. You didn't even know it. You didn't even know it until the door opened up. Then you realize, why is my door open? I'm used to being miserable. I think I'll stay here. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to postpone it. I don't want to believe to disbelieve today. I think I'll postpone that because I don't know if I believe or not. Maybe I've heard the good news, but I'm not ready to make a decision on that. So we always postpone. When you do that, you're evil. Because you know, even though you know that when God speaks, you know the voice of God. Why? It's written on your heart. It's written on your heart. It's not written in your soul or your body. It's written on your heart. And therefore, you know, that's good news. I need to be free today. I need to know that the debt has been paid. I need to know that God paid the debt for me because I couldn't pay. I wasn't perfect. I wasn't holy like he's holy. I never did love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. I didn't do any of that. And I didn't love my neighbor as myself, which is the result of that. But now as Christians, just by faith, walking out, choosing, I don't want to be miserable anymore. I want to be happy from now on. I want to be completely happy. And even though I have sin in me, it's been forgiven. Chair 4. But I'm going to go through whatever program he has to work out my salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God who doeth the work. It's God that does everything. So if I can walk through and believe in chair 4, I can actually walk through the fire in chair 5. And if that's true, I can actually amount to chair 6, because I don't do anything. I never did anything. I actually did nothing. My whole life is a waste. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That's what Solomon, the son of God, the son of David, that Solomon was not really the true guy, but he did build the temple. And for that, he's commended. Who's going to build the temple today? Jesus. Jesus, you're the building that he's building. 4, 5, and 6. You are a perfect man. Perfect. I want you to say those words. I am perfect. Why? It's the truth. The truth. You may not believe it. It doesn't matter. Just say the words. As far as God is concerned, written in the Bible, I'm perfect. Even though I don't see it. Of course I don't see it. It's not even in the Bible that you could see it. You don't see it. You just see from moment to moment, God leads you and guides you, and then you hear his word and you do what he says and so on. But you don't see beyond that. You don't have a vision of everything. You need to know that God has designed everything for your good, for your blessing, for your advantage, for your profit. Everything is, you are the blessed of heaven. Everyone here is blessed of heaven. Say it, I am blessed. With every blessing in heavenly places. That's you. That's you. Just by saying it, you've already changed your life. And not because you obeyed me. I'm just saying, you saying it, it's objective. Don't make it subjective right now. Don't say, well, I don't know if I really believe that. That's nonsense. You don't believe anything. You've never been a believer. That's a perfect example of why God made the promise, because they knew nobody is any good. Nobody deserves anything. But still, I made a promise to Abraham. I'm keeping it. I'm keeping that promise to Abraham that not only the Jews, will be part of the kingdom of God on earth, but also the Gentiles as well. Only the Jews will be on earth, whereas the Gentiles and those Jews that are now messianic, that are ready for the Lord's return, will be in heaven. Then what about the others? Don't worry about the others. We have a just God, a merciful God, a powerful God. I trust Him to make the decision who will win. Now I'm going to tell you something you don't want to hear. Yesterday, the SREC, which is David's a part of that. No, Mom, I know. I'm not going to say that. Yesterday, I had written an email to everybody, and they knew what was happening. And the man on the other end of the phone, I spoke to many people because people responded. Oh, I agree with you. Okay, I'm going to vote the way you're saying the vote, and so on and so forth. But then something happened, and one of our Dallas members sent Peggy a video thing, and we watched it, and I was completely convicted. Wow, I was premature because of the rhetoric that he used. He sounded like a Christian because he said Jesus in almost every sentence. And the other guy didn't mention that. He just said, you know, he's going to do the best and is all, you know. He had made a poor performance. This was last Saturday here in Fort Worth. And so, yeah, I'm going with that guy because at least he fears God. At least he fears God. That's what we want, a man that fears God. But after watching the video, I realized, uh-oh, you're wrong. This guy is not mature at all. So therefore, I wrote a letter saying these words. I withdraw my endorsement of so-and-so and didn't add anything to it. Just that's it. God bless America. God bless Texas. So I didn't say who I was for because there's only two running. I just simply said, I now withdraw. So that doesn't help anything because he doesn't know. Well, what do you think? You still should vote for him, and you didn't want to do it. And so I left it in your hands. I trust you that you will hear the word of the Lord. When the vote came out yesterday, Peg and I watched it. We watched the vote. It was 32 to 31. The one who had 32 was the one that we wanted to win, but I didn't say I wanted him to win. Because I had become convinced that I was wrong in what I did, and that's all I did was confess my sin. I didn't explain it. I didn't tell why I did it and whatever. Because I had written everything I wanted to in the first email.
You sent it to all the voters.
All the voters. Everyone that was there. And I can't tell you what Peggy doesn't want me to tell me, but a miracle happened. Not only did the one prevail that I knew was the cleaner man, and I was totally mistaken on him, and people helped me in that. I mean, I didn't do it on my own. They helped me. And they convinced me, did you know, one said, that one vote could make the difference because we seem to be divided. And so one vote going one way or the other could make the difference. I thought, well, that's easy. I can do it. But I don't want to say what he wants me to say. I'm for the other one. But I was for the other one because I didn't like what I saw and I didn't want to explain it to anybody. I just said, I withdraw. I withdraw. So what I'm talking about today is God wants you to withdraw.
Yes.
Withdraw from this world. And hear God. Why? Because Pastor Jim is a great... No, it's nothing. I'm not great about anything. I'm a zero, and I'm learning every day to be holy, to walk in righteousness. What is the song we just sang? Something about in His holiness or something like that. I rest in His holiness or... Whatever it is. Hide me. Hide me in His holiness. That's 4, 5, and 6. hide me in this holiness, all of that is holiness. That is you being perfected by Jesus. You didn't do it. You didn't do it. You didn't do it. Jesus did it. In spite of you, with all your addictions, keep them. Yeah, that's wonderful. Keep them. But Jesus will do it because by that word, he gives you grace from day to day. When every time he exposes a sin, he gives you another amount of grace so that you're able one more time to believe, I need that grace. I have to have that grace. If the grace is in the Bible, that when every time that you're favored by God, which is, you know, he forgives all your sins, you're also given grace, that is mercy plus favor of God. And so every day he gives you that grace. Every day you have that measure of grace that you have to do whatever you need to do. And you have it. And it gives you confidence on the inside that even though all my sins are forgiven, yet I'm stupid. I don't really know what to do. I have to seek God. I have to ask God, what am I reading? What does this mean? How do I apply that? I don't know. And God is happy that I'm a leader that doesn't know anything. And I don't. I don't know anything. I don't know his will. I don't know it. Unless he reveals, only the revealed things are mine. But the hidden things belong to God. So I don't know what he knows. And he won't share it. He only gives me what he wants to give me, and I don't know what that is, but when I get it, I mean, that's a grace. That was grace. A miracle took place yesterday, and I know it will change the whole election scheme in Texas for years and years and years to come. And defeat the other party's opposition to what's going on. Because Texas is a special place. I believe that. I don't believe that because it's written in the Bible. I believe that because what I know of God, that he's actually raised us up at the same time that the last founding father died, he raised up Texas the next year, early on, in March. He raised up Texas to carry on the original vision that the founders had when they created America to make everyone have religious freedom and just government. Religious freedom and just government, two gifts of God. Those are not gifts that man can do. They're only gifts of God. And if God is not for you, if he isn't the King of Kings, if he isn't the Lord of Lords, then you are nothing. In your nation, you're only great because you're good. And if you're not good, and today people are not good, it's really hard to tell the truth when you hear the pundits and speaking and so on and so forth. It's hard to tell what's what. I wish they'd be clearer. Well, they're not going to be clearer because they want everything to be ambiguous. And every law is written that way with ambiguity so they can say yes or no. It's written in such, well, I thought that meant, well, I thought freedom meant I can walk out of my prison. No, you're still there. Oh. What does freedom mean? I thought it was, you know, I wouldn't be under arbitrary government. I thought the government would be limited. I thought the Constitution limited the government. Wow. Did you know that the government's not limited? It's unlimited. That is, they can interpret it any way they want to. So thank God for our new president that he has, first of all, picked a conservative judge. And second of all, that he got us out of the Paris Treaty. If he did nothing else, he'd be successful. Those two things have ruined the program that Hillary had in mind to save all of those that do evil continually, constantly, without let up. So Texas may be the line in the sand that everyone needs to say. Just as I said, I drew a line in the sand and said I was wrong. I was completely wrong. But I didn't tell them why. There's nothing they could go on. But it affected one person to make the vote won. Because the man who spoke those words said, you don't know that your vote, you're writing these things. He wanted me to write that I'm for the other guy. I didn't write that. I just wrote that I'm not for the guy I was for. And so there's no way that I can make that happen because I didn't write it what he wanted. I wrote exactly what I wanted. But it actually, we won by one vote. Exactly one. So, praise the Lord. You don't know who that was. But the chairman, Tom Pawkin from Dallas, wrote me a letter after the first one I'd written, trying to exhort me to change my mind. But when I did, what did he say?
I think you made the right decision.
I think you made the right decision, meaning he was very pleased with what I made, because now it has really salvaged Texas from all kinds of things that you wouldn't believe unless you saw that video. Unless you saw that and realized, whoa, this guy is so entangled. He's not a mature believer. He's just using the rhetoric to win people like me. First time you hear him, hey, he fears God. But then I realized, wow, that was just talk. So I changed my mind. How many know you can change your mind? You can always change your mind. You become a Christian if you say, I don't want to be one. You don't have to be one. You can change five times. So the best has been saved to the last. Now, here's the words. Come out from the midst of her, my people, because Babylon has fallen. She's already judged. But yet he's saying now, come out from her. I thought she was already fallen. But now he's saying, not the future, that's, you'll see that later. But right now, I want you today, right now, 2017, he wants you today to realize God is separating his people from his people. He's separating that in the temple, only the holy shall survive. And only they will be ready like wise virgins, and not those that aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, do not have the power of the Holy Spirit to bless them because they're afraid of tongues or whatever they're afraid of, whatever nonsense. The point is, you need the power of the Holy Spirit because he's the only one. Is the only one that reveals the Son, who is your Savior and your Lord and your bridegroom, and never speaks about himself. He's the one member of the Trinity that never speaks about himself. He always speaks about Jesus, who reveals the Father, and the Father who speaks through the Son. So that's a dead end. That's a closed universe. That the Father is able to speak through the merciful. In other words, the holiness of the Father speaks through the mercy of the Son according to the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit then helps Jesus, who helps then reveal the Father to everybody, and then you make your decision. It's written, tetelestai, tetelestai, paid in full. It's finished. It's over. You're free. Walk out. Now you can make the decision. Today, I'm going to be free from this moment on. You can make that decision because if you want something good, I can't think of anything better than to be able to please God. I can't think of anything better than to be able to please God for no reason at all. Because that's who you are. That's who he's making you. He's building this temple, and he has a picture outside that shows the finished temple. It's Jesus. He has a picture outside, and Jesus is the one that gave you 4 and gave you 5 and gave you 6. So he knows exactly what he's doing because he's building himself. You're the body. He's the head. Did you know that everything in my body responds to my head? You chop my head off, you won't get any, you won't get any reactions. My body won't, rigor mortis, but it won't get anything because I'm dead. But when you're dead, you're alive for the first time. When you die to yourself, you're alive to God. When you die to yourself, to this world, to the love of this world, to the fornication of this world, to the church and state being joined together, you need to be free. Religious freedom, just government. Religious freedom is the foundation of all just government. Show me a just government in the world, I'll show you. There had to be Christians in the foundation. You wouldn't have that otherwise. This was the only nation built on that foundation so far. And I believe Texas was raised up at the time I said, because she's the only one that holds the key to the future. Maybe you don't feel that way. It doesn't matter. Doesn't count for anything. But I believe the best is yet to come.
Amen.
And I believe that here we have more politicians that are Christian, truly. More, and we have wicked ones. I mean, we have lots of them. But we also have some that are true, and all you got to do is pull away. Don't curse them. Don't yell at them. Just pull away. So that when they're judged, because of the deeds they've done, the judgment will be just. The judgment will be just. When God judges anybody, well, we've already been judged. The judgment's over. Right there, the faith that I have in that promise written there, I'm believing a promise. Standing on the promises of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Bridegroom. I'm standing on those promises. Why? I don't like the life I was living. Even though I was doing everything I wanted. I lied all I wanted. I cheated all I wanted. I stole all I wanted. I did everything I wanted to do. So I was happy. And then I added Jesus to that. Yeah, now I'm good for heaven and earth. I can live like hell all the way on earth. And then just don't tell anybody about it. Just live like hell. And I loved that. And then without sharing, even Peggy didn't know. She always thought, well, he's probably deep down, he must have some values. But I didn't. I never did. And if she would ask me, I'd say, do you love me? No. It's the end of that. Now, what's your next question? I mean, like, what do you want to do about it? Just go ahead and do it. It doesn't bother me because I'm a cold person. I don't have any love. I don't have any natural affection for anybody. I don't give a flip for my parents or for anybody. I only care about me. I was God. Do you all understand what I'm saying? I don't know if any of you are like that, but maybe there's one or two. Could I have a show of hands of the one or two that are like me? Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Quite a few. That's good. I love it. Because I know the good news. The good news is my crimes brought me into that prison. I've never been to prison, but I've preached in prison, but I've not been there. I deserved it, though. I deserved it. I was worse than any criminal I've ever met. Ever. Because I have eyes of steel. I don't lie to myself. I lie to everybody else. But I never lie to myself. I know exactly why I did that. I know what my motive was. And it worked. And I'm proud of myself. Now you have pride, you have anger, you have fear, you have lust, you have bitterness, you have everything, all that stuff. God says, pull away from her. You'll not grow if so long as you're part of that body of death. I want to come back and judge them, but if you're with them, I can't because you'd be collateral damage. I want you to be out of the way. Get away. Get out. Distance yourself. That's what God is doing. He's not telling you to do it. He's telling you what he's doing. I'm doing that. I'm purifying, cleansing the temple, not just on Palm Sunday, not just the next week when he rose from the dead. I'm cleansing the temple forever. This is the temple. You are my temple. You are the temple of the living God. You're spiritual people. You are a new creation. It doesn't matter if you believe it. I don't care that you believe it. You don't have to believe it. It's written on your door. You can either sit in your, you know, little cell in there and be miserable. But God counsels you in the Laodicean church. Obviously, there's hope. I counsel you to buy the true eye salve, the true healing, the true health, the true things. You know, your faith has to be tested in fire. You have to do all of that he said, because he's after you being dead. He's after your death. So die as quickly as you can. Die as quickly as you can. So anyone here who's moved to agree with that? Die as quickly as you can. You can't do it. You're not going to be able to do it. But just tell him, Lord, I'm ready. No matter what it costs, I'm ready. I want to go all the way. I don't want to be just an average, you know, lukewarm Christian. I want to be all the way for you. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that thrilling? I can tell you're thrilled. But anyway, it's great. You have to go all the way.
Amen.
You're not going to go with one sin. He won't marry you if you have one sin. You're out. So one flaw, one blemish, one stain, one anything on your blouse or whatever you have, skip it. You're not going in unless Jesus perfects you. This is the perfection. Most pastors only preach four. I preach four and five. But the only reason I preach those two, because they're a means to an end, six. And he's only coming back for seven. And if you're ready, on the day he comes back, and there's no sin in you, because you've been purified, and because when he comes back, he has his reward with him. His reward is with him. The minute he comes back, the trumpet sounds, boom, you got your new body and your new soul. Wow. The grace of God now has utterly redeemed me. I have a new body and a new soul and a new heart. I've got everything. I'm perfect. That would be amazing. Will that not be amazing? That would be a day of shouting. That would be, woo, glory, glory. I mean, that would be a powerful. And we get, as David said when he was young, when did we get to walk on the necks of our enemies? You know, because as a Christian, I'm not supposed to fight or anything, and they beat me up every day at school. When can I strike back? I don't know if you remember that, David. I want that part where we get on top. We get, you know, the glory. That's the day. But you don't do it. Jesus does it for you. You won't even need to do it. God will already have taken place. The wicked go first. The wicked go first. The wicked go first. So God is not finished. He's cleansing his temple. This is a house cleaning. This is a house cleaning. All the wicked, you remain. All the wicked, withdraw from them. Don't be part of what they're doing. Do you all understand the favor of God? The might of God? Does anyone understand that? The comfort of the Holy Spirit. It's powerful. Comfort yourself. Comfort yourself. Reflexive voice. Middle voice in Greek or Hebrew. The middle voice is, don't tell them that their warfare is ended. Tell them, comfort yourself, because your warfare is over. It's not coming. It's already here, even though you don't see it. You have to believe this by faith. And that was 700 years before Jesus was born. So imagine how much time it's been since they heard those words. But he prophesied when it would happen, exactly where it would happen. Prophesied all that. So now you know. The end has come upon us. And so history is about to end. When? Nobody knows. I'm not even interested in it. All I want to know is make sure everyone here is clean. I want you all to be clean. Why? This is not what I want. It's what God wants. I'm just telling you what God wants is be clean. Why? Because he's not coming back for a harlot. He's not coming back for anyone spotted or wrinkled or anything. He's coming back for someone that's pure, because you don't have any sin in your life controlling you, dominating you, having dominion over you. Do you have to be perfect? Of course you can't be perfect if sin is still in your life, but it doesn't dominate you. It's only there tempting you, but you don't give in to it because it doesn't dominate you. Because why? Because with my mouth, I'm able to speak. No, I have faith in Jesus. He's perfecting me. What I'm doing right now is not right. I agree with that. Kill that in me, Jesus. Kill that. Give me grace. He gave me grace right there. Get rid of that sin. I don't want that sin in my life. I want to be perfect. We're the only ones on earth that can be perfect. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt. Without salt, nothing is made acceptable to God. Any sacrifice that's made, Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, there has to be salt. There has to be a bite to it. It has to be able to flavor anything it touches. Well, the flavor of heaven has come down on earth, and the flavor of heaven is filling everything through his church. Let us be his church, not our own. We didn't build this church. God built this church. In fact, he built it so well that in 1927, when this building not this building, that building over there. That building was built. A lot of people were attending here, and they understood we need to be tax-free on this property. The whole property was owned, but we need to be tax-free. And so they wrote that down in the minutes. They wrote that down in the minutes. And it's written now in the archives of the city that the city made that thing. As long as anyone who buys this building, buys this facility, buys this land, anyone who lives here will never pay a tax forever, as long as they use it for church purposes only. So, because they had it for many, 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 many years before 1981. Because they had it, always for church purposes, they never paid a tax. Now we have it by privity. By privative means, the same use. We're using the building for the same purpose. This was meant to be a medical place. But the hospital people, you know, they bought it. Not this hospital, but other people bought it for making medical, this medical stuff would be done here because it's a perfectly placement. It's right next to the hospital. But it never happened. And Guy Witherspoon, he decided as a businessman, he would go to the owner and say, we'll give you a tax write-off for this building because you can't sell it. Nobody's wanting to buy it because it has this sloping floor. It's not set up right. And so we bought it as is, and I hated this building. It's like in the wrong place, the wrong time, and the wrong neighborhood, and all the drugs took place here, and prostitution took place here. And it was a filthy place. Everybody knew it. This is where your car will be damaged, and so on and so forth. So now it's wonderful. Because we're here. Yeah. And the other thing is, 2 years later, in 1927, the county commissioners also made a document that said, every church has to pay the tax. Unless, by a constitutional right, that's us. We have a previous document that says we always have a constitutional right as long as you only use it for church purposes. And we don't collect money on, you've never seen selling cakes or doing anything here. We don't do anything. We don't have a bank account that earns interest. We have nothing. We don't want to be part of this world. So there's nothing that we do. So the city will have to recoup to us all that we've paid in over the years. And so already I've spoken to the tax collector, and he said, yeah, sue me. Sue me as quickly as you can while I'm still in office. I want you to win. This I consider a friendly lawsuit. So that's amazing. That's amazing that we could be free without doing a lick. Without doing a lick, just because of two pieces of paper. Two pieces of paper. Anyway, to me, that's amazing. Is that not amazing? I mean, I think it's amazing. Because we're a little nothing church. And to imagine we have millions of followers around the world, and we don't do anything. We don't do anything. We just, you know, write checks and so on and so forth. But we don't really do anything. But we've impacted the world in a marvelous way. Robert met me, I don't know, a year ago, it's 2 years ago, whatever. And he said to him, you are the one that blessed Hope for Africa when they were first started more than anyone. And I want you to know you're a mighty man of God. Well, so Robert still looks to me as a man of God. Thank you for that. But also that I did all those things. And I didn't really do anything. I'm not even black. I'm not black. I don't know if you've noticed that. I'm not. But I fit in great because people have accepted me because of the truth. not because I had any ambition or agenda. Or I didn't have anything. I just come to love and look and listen and then respond. So I believe that God favors us because we're being perfected by Jesus Christ. Is everything we do perfect? No, not at all. We're a long way, I'm sure, from truth. But I want to be all the way. I'm committed to go all the way. No matter what he says, I'll do it. Just tell me what to do, I'll do it. But I got to hear God. I got to hear God. It's got to be in the Bible. And it's got to be something that I agree that's unambiguous. That is clear. Amen?
Amen.
All right, Bobby, close in prayer. Thank you.